Hello, this is John Buckman, State Fire Training Director for the Indiana Department of Homeland Security. We're here today to talk about some of the issues that impact firefighter health and safety, specifically cancer and some of the dangers that are associated with smoke. I have Paul Colvin with me as well. Paul, you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Paul Colvin. I'm with Jackson Township Fire Department in Brown County, Indiana, and I'm the Assistant Fire Chief, and I've been in fire service since 1974, and I went to a smoke symposium in Lebanon, Ohio on Friday, and they talked about the mimic twins of smoke, which are carbon monoxide and hydrogen cyanide. And what they discussed was the dangers for a firefighter that are unknown, and the risk that a firefighter is being put at with these mimic twins, because carbon monoxide and hydrogen cyanide both have the same symptoms. And when a person becomes with smoke inhalation or has a problem in a house fire, the paramedics and the ambulance personnel don't know which one to treat. So it's either carbon monoxide or cyanide poisoning. And in the world, the way they were explained it in the class is that with all the plastics, there's cyanide gas being created with all the plastics inside a house, and they showed demonstrations of how the plastics start melting, and they cause a gas, and they attach themselves to the carbon, which is the black smoke from the other products in the house, and the firefighters are getting it through their breathing apparatus or absorbing through their turnout gear. And the amazing fact is firefighters do not go on air quick enough into a house. They should, when they leave the fire engine with their turnout gear and their SCBA, they should go on air immediately, because there are hydrogen cyanide vapors outside the house as well as in the house during a fire. And when they come out of the house, the first thing a firefighter wants to do is take off his mask. That's the worst thing he can do, because there's also cyanide in the air there as well. And they told us that they had did monitoring underneath the turnout gear for cyanide, and that there was sometimes as high as 7 parts per million that is going through the turnout gear and can be absorbing into the firefighter's body. And they also said that a firefighter should wash his gear at a professional place or a fire station washing machine thoroughly after each fire, and let it completely dry, and never wear the same turnout gear into another fire until it is, because the cyanide can go through the gear quicker wet than it can dry. And they highly recommend a second set of turnout gear for that firefighter.
Yeah, Paul, you bring up a very valid point about that gear, because as firefighters, we've been told for many years that we should be worried about the carbon particles that are in smoke, and that we take them home to our families after a call. And what the most recent studies by the International Association of Firefighters, as well as the speakers in this at your class in Lebanon, Ohio this weekend, are telling us, not only should we be worried about carbon, we should also be worried about the carbon monoxide, but now we add in this hydrogen cyanide that is impacting our health.
That's correct. And they also said the most missed piece of equipment that never hardly gets washed as often is the Nomex hood. It should be washed every time the turnout gear is washed, and also the helmet liner should be washed, because those are two pieces of equipment that firefighters forget about, and they are contaminated highly with hydrogen cyanide and carbon. And they have done studies to show that the new firefighters that are going on to the jobs, they average a couple fires every time they're on shift. If they're not careful, they can have an accumulation of cyanide and carbon. And they're showing firefighters having heart attacks at the age of around 43 years old.
The your point about the Nomex hood, I listened to Dr. Lori Moore of the International Association of Firefighters talk about that. And you think about all the things that we do to protect our body. we put on rubber boots that are, you know, not permeable, so stuff can't go through it. We put on protective clothing that's pretty thick, we'll say, that a lot of things don't go through. We put on a Nomex hood. We put on a helmet. All things that are tough. But the one hole in our body that we don't cover up is our ears. And we put that Nomex hood, which we've worn into 5 or 6 fires, we put that thing right up against our ears, and that's one way that this cyanide can enter into your body, and you won't even know it. But firefighters want to be tough, and we want to be macho, and say, well, I don't want to wash my gear because I want it to smell like fire and I want it to look like fire, when in reality they could actually be making themselves unhealthier.
That's correct, and they can cause themselves to have a heart attack. And I will tell you one symptom that has happened to me, it really hit home, is that I worked a fire 2 years ago, I was told the next day at my physical, I'd had my annual physical the next day after this big fire, and I got told that I, after my EKG, that I'd had a heart attack the day before. And they sent me in a week later to do all these tests, with the stress test and blood test and everything else, and it showed nothing. And one of the symptoms of hydrogen cyanide and carbon is that it can cause the same exact symptom that I had, a heart attack, and a week later nothing shows. But there is an accumulation buildup over years that can cause an actual heart attack that will kill you. And one of the biggest things they said was that firefighters do that can cause them to have absorption of cyanide from inhalation and absorption is after the when they do the mop-up,
right,
through all the debris, firefighters have a tendency not to wear their SCBAs as faithfully as they should because there's no smoke and it's just kind of steaming. But the group that put on the presentation at Lebanon said that there are hydrogen cyanide vapors coming off of that simmering debris, and that you absolutely should wear your SCBA on air during the whole time to prevent that. And what happens not only with the firefighter, but when the firefighter has problems with smoke inhalation or needs care in the ambulance, they're now contaminating the ambulance and also the paramedics on that ambulance, because 90% of the time the paramedic doesn't strip the firefighter down or decon him for smoke inhalation. They're trying to figure out how to make him better and get him on oxygen and take him to the hospital. And I confirmed that last night at a presentation that I put on with the EMT Association here in Brown County, that they take off their coat, and they never very seldom take off their bunker pants, and they take them to the hospital, and they very seldom treat them for anything but carbon monoxide poisoning, and they very seldom take a blood test called plasma lactate, and that tests for blood levels of HCN, and that should be done in the ambulance so they can test it at the hospital to verify. Because if they take this person with HCN in their body into the hospital, now they've contaminated the hospital, and doctors very seldom look for that in a firefighter because it's an unknown till now.
Right.
It actually happened. They're mimic twins, and the smoke in that air is very, very deadly, and it's a buildup over time, and very seldom does a firefighter know it's even happening.
Well, Paul, some good information. In the Fire Chief magazine, June of 2009, there was an article written by John Lindstrom. John is a friend of mine. I've known him for many years. He's a young man. He is very healthy. He's a runner. And we're coming up on September 11th, which will be here in a day or so. But he went to New York City, part of the California task force that responded to the events of 9/11. But he became deathly ill after that. So bad that, you know, he was looking at wheelchairs or having to be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, that he was too sick. He was, had to be on steroids and 29% reduction in his total lung capacity. He was doing 15 different medications in 2005. And he finally got into a holistic Middle Eastern kind of medicine place, and he's very healthy today. But the simple way of saying what helped him was that they basically, instead of it letting go in his pores, he got it back out of his pores. I'd say they sucked it out, but that's not true. He was in a sauna four 1 hour periods a day for 40 consecutive days. So he basically just had it pour out of his pores. In one of the stories, he talks about how he had some magnesium come out of his skin on his arms. And they determined that was from a paint factory fire that occurred like 5 years before September 11th. So it's something that firefighters don't see, something that firefighters are not aware of. And as I tell young people on my fire department, especially the young ladies who want to have children, you ought to watch what you're doing, make sure you're wearing all your protective clothing all the time, every minute. Don't take your mask off until you're back safely at the truck out of the hazard zone.
Well, that's absolutely right. And the studies that they presented on Friday was exactly from the 9/11 incident, where they've had a lot of reports of cyanide poisoning from 9/11, and that's what drove this testing. They have come up with a new injection, and it's called the Cyano Kit, that is, to what I understand, is highly loaded with vitamin B12, and it'll push or wash off the cyanide out of your body. And you're right, cyanide does not automatically just come out of your body. It has to be pushed off,
right,
or washed out. So that is a very important factor. And one of the biggest things that they talked about, one of the doctors that was there, said that a firefighter, if he's on a high blood pressure medicine, should be taking an Aceptor instead of a beta blocker, because beta blockers seem to keep it locally centralized in your body, where an Aceptor lets it go out to the body endings and come out and release that. And it's worse for a firefighter to be on a beta blocker because of the hydrogen cyanide. So they're coming up with a lot of things that are they think will help, but I don't know what they're going to do about the turnout gear, how they're going to keep it from absorbing through the turnout gear. But what I recommended to our board was that we're going to try and purchase some HCN monitors to keep one on our truck that's on a fire scene, so we know that for a fact that our truck is in the zero zone and is safe for the firefighter. And we're also going to try and get one that we can send in with a firefighter to monitor the levels of HCN in a fire so that we can document it on our fire runs for later possibilities of our firefighters having some HCN poisoning.
Yeah, Paul, it's an excellent point that, you know, we've been going for about 15 minutes here, but I think that's probably one of the recommendations that we would make as a result of some of this information we're reading about. One, you should use CO monitoring to say when the air is clear, when you're fighting a residential structure fire, that you can consider taking your mask off. Many fire departments are doing that today. If you're not doing that, you should do that. But the additional step you should make is just what you just said, Paul, is people should have an HCN monitor. They should measure the quality of the air to make sure that there's nothing there that's going to hurt our firefighters.
I would agree with you 100%, and that's, as an old firefighter talking, I think that we have a lot to be concerned with, and I think we should take every safety measure we can to protect our firefighters, because you never know when it's going to be you.
All right, Paul, well, I appreciate you coming on today to talk with us about this important health and safety issue. We hope those firefighters that listen to this will take heed. Understand, it's a dangerous world out there. It's not just about buildings collapsing on you. There's lots of things that impact your health and wellness. On behalf of the Indiana Firefighter Training System, I want to thank Paul Colvin for sharing his information with us tonight. This is John Buckman. So long.